Well, welcome everybody today. We're glad that you're here to be a part of our time of worship. We welcome all of our campuses, everybody who's joining us on the podcast or the live stream. Look, we're one faith family today. And as we begin, I want to say welcome to some special guests who are here with us at one of our campuses today at our Reservoir campus. We are privileged to have with us the current graduating class of cadets from the Mississippi Law Enforcement Officer Training Program with us. And so I want all of us at every campus, look, I know you may not be at your, they may not be at your campus, but would you join me in welcoming these men and women who are here with us today? We are certainly glad that you guys are here. And this may be a little bit even more out of the norm for you. Listen, I can't do anything about the fact that you're listening to this on a podcast right now, or that for some of you, you're sitting in a room other than the room where I am, and we already have to fight a little bit against the idea of church on a screen. If you're part of our Pine Lake family, you know that's not it at all. We're one family worshiping the same Christ all over this state at the same time. So we're together. But I want to ask you to do something. Every campus, I don't care if you're in Clinton, Madison, Oxford, or Starkville right now, or at the Reservoir campus, if you're even on the side of the road on a podcast, right? I want to ask you to join me in doing something. These men and women who are our law enforcement officials, the Bible says that the Lord in Psalm 84 is a sun and shield about us. And it also, we know that these folks who serve us in law enforcement so many times are a shield about us. And they protect us. And many times that is overlooked and taken for granted until you really, really need them. And so I want for all of us at every campus to pray for these cadets who are about to be a part of the Mississippi Law Enforcement program. And so what I want you to do is, if you're at the Reservoir campus, I want you to extend an arm out toward these guys as if you were laying a hand on them. Look, at any campus, whichever way you think the Reservoir is, just stick an arm out that way, okay? We can't touch these guys, but I just want a voice of prayer, but I want you to join me in praying. Would you just pray God's protection over them? The scripture tells us that God wants us to pray for those in authority over us, that they bear the sword, or they bear the right to protect us by God's divine authority. And so would you just pray protection over them? Would you pray direction over them? Though they are enforcement officers, they're people too. They have families, they have hurts, they have cares. Would you just pray God would be a sun and a shield to them, that he would not withhold any good thing from them, that they would walk in his grace and his mercy all the days of their lives. And so God, we do. I pray for these men and women. Thank you for the sacrifices they make, that God, when we run from danger, they run to it. God, that they stand between us and chaos and evil so many times. And God, I just pray, bless them, protect them, shield them. And God, we obey your word, which says, pray for those in authority. Would you bless them, bless their leadership? And God, would you grant us grace? And God, let us live in peace in this state. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Hey, I want to thank y'all for doing that. One of these days, if you ever happen to meet one of these guys, I want you to be able to roll your window down and say, you know, I welcomed you at my church and I prayed for you. Come on, fellas. Nobody speeds at Pine Lake, right? Nobody speeds at Pine Lake. But seriously, we are so thankful for you. You're joining us at the tail end of what has been a 40-day journey for us. On January the 21st, we started a 40-day journey of prayer. Jesus, teach us to pray. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and he's been teaching us to pray. The hope was that we would learn to pray, that we would be motivated to pray, that somehow you would be moved to pray more than you've ever prayed before, and that we would see powerful answers to specific prayers. And I would say to you that across the board, every campus, God has been meeting us. God has been meeting us week in, week out. We've had reports of this one dad who didn't come the first Sunday. His son came to church on the first Sunday of 40 days. His son came home with a pack of those prayer cards. He said, Dad, please pray these cards with me every day for 40 days. Everybody in church is doing it. The dad let us know. He said, listen, I can't thank you enough for giving me the tool I needed to lead my family spiritually to pray. We've seen God do some amazing things. Testimonies from families who are praying together for the first time. Addicts who walk now in freedom because of the power of prayer. Adults who experience the deliverance from strongholds sexually and otherwise, that God has helped them to walk in freedom. I heard from a couple who were separated and on the way to divorce, but during the 40 days, the husband said, I began to pray, God, intervene. And here we are 40 days later, and he says, you know what? My wife and I have begun to pray and talk about the possibility of reconciliation. God is a reconciling God. He can raise dead love back to life. A guy named Chad moved here from North Carolina back in November. He had a job, but his wife did not. She's a middle school Spanish teacher. She started 40 days and just began to pray, God, I need a job. And within the 40 days, a job opening for a middle school Spanish teacher came open. She went for an interview and was hired the very next day. God answered that prayer. Troy and Farrah Newman are part of our church family. They're both eye doctors, very, very smart, but they're also very, very gracious with their lives. They're serving right now in Kenya, Africa as doctors on mission. Farrah called during the 40 days, sent a text message to many of us saying, a fire has broken out. It's burning out of control in the hospital. Many lives are in danger. Please pray. There's no fire department. There's no sprinkler system and no rain in the forecast. Many people began to pray, and within an hour, she texted back and said, I have no explanation, but God has stopped this fire and it's out. God not only sends fire, but God can stop the fire. A girl named Laura said 2 days before 40 days began, one of their family's best friends, a girl named Lana, was misdiagnosed with what doctors thought was internal shingles. Turned out there were lesions and tumors, it looked like, all over her spine, lesions on her kidneys, liver, and fluid in her lungs. Doctors began to run tests, and immediately this girl began to pray. Lana and Laura and their friends began to pray. The doctors told her, you need to prepare for the worst. Get your insurance on the line. You're probably going to have a long battle here. But as the people around Lana began to pray, there became a sense that God was going to do something. And somebody said, you know what? I have this sense that the tumor on her spine is going to be benign. Others began to say, I sense that God wants to heal her. So they began to pray with confidence. Long story short, Lana goes in for all of the tests, and the doctors come back and say, not only is the spine benign, but after weeks of testing, everything else is gone. This girl was 100% cancer-free. Our God hears the prayers of his people. Can we just give God some praise? He's answered. Now, maybe you have your own story where you can say, go God, that's awesome, man. God heard my prayers too. But what I also know is that many of you have been praying for 40 days, and what you've been praying for hasn't happened. My P40, my thing I've had my bracelet on for, it has not happened yet. So what does that mean for us? What if your answer hasn't come yet? Does that mean that God doesn't like you? Does that mean you did it wrong? Does that mean better luck next year? Maybe whenever February rolls around, you can pray next time? What does that mean? What does it mean for us? Do we just quit praying and give up? Well, if you have a Bible, I want you to turn to the Gospel of Luke today, chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And the thing that comes right before Luke chapter 18 is Luke chapter 17. Have y'all ever noticed that? Just about in every Bible, the thing that comes right before Luke 18 is Luke 17. And in Luke 17, some religious leaders asked Jesus, hey, when is the kingdom of God coming? And Jesus said, homeboy, you better open your eyes. It's here. All right, now that's a loose translation of the Greek text, but that's what he said. The kingdom is in your midst. But then he did say, there is this sense in which the Son of Man will come and be revealed one day. And he said he's going to come like a flash of lightning across the sky quickly. He's going to come quickly. And yet here we are with this delay between when Jesus said he's coming quickly and yet he hasn't come yet. What should you do? What should we be doing in this gap between the promise and the fulfillment? Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Look at it and see what it says. Now Jesus was telling them a parable, a story, to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. Underline that phrase, pray and not to lose heart, saying, and here's the parable, okay? In a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God, and he did not respect man. That's the Bible's way of saying he is not a good guy. But he is in authority. He's a judge. He doesn't fear God. He doesn't respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to this judge saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while, the judge was unwilling. But afterward, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. Y'all feel it, right? And then Jesus said, hear what that unrighteous judge said now. Now will not God, who is good, bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Jesus wants you to fill the gap between right now where you are and the time that he comes. He wants you to fill that gap with prayer. How should you be praying if your prayer hasn't been answered yet? Jesus teaches us in this text, okay? Here's how Jesus wants you to pray. He wants you to pray with persistence. That's number one. He wants you to pray with persistence. Jesus told this parable, verse 1 said, so that you would pray and not lose heart. The idea of losing heart is you get tired. Man, I'm discouraged. I'm praying and nothing's happening, so my prayer life, my energy starts to sag, and then it falls off completely to nothing. I don't feel like this is doing any good, so I just end up quitting. Now, there are two things that I think will cause you to lose heart in your prayer life and make you want to quit. Number one is nothing's happening, right? Nothing's happening. God's delay will sometimes cause you to lose energy for prayer. We want God to move at the speed of light, but God most often in our prayer lives moves at the speed of faith and obedience. We want him to move like that, but God often moves at the speed of faith and our obedience. God wants us to learn to pray with persistence, waiting on his timing. We'll talk about that in a minute, but he wants us to believe he's at work. I think about Joshua in the Bible. I don't know if y'all remember the story of Joshua in the Promised Land. When they're going in, first battle across the river, right? First away game is they're there fighting the Battle of Jericho. And God's game plan was really kind of bizarre. The strategy for this battle is that Joshua and the army of Israel are going to walk around the walls of Jericho one time a day. Next day, walk around the walls one time a day. Next day, walk around the walls. Y'all remember? He does this for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, he's supposed to walk around the wall seven times, blow the trumpets and raise up a shout and see what happens. Now, I got to believe Joshua was freaking out. I got to believe that there were people who were saying, "This isn't working. We walked around the wall yesterday. We walked around the wall the day before. Nothing is happening. Those people are laughing at us." I wonder about on the seventh day, were they on lap 4, lap 5, lap 6, and everybody's going, "Man, this is stupid. Come on." Y'all know if they're like us, they were. "This is so dumb. I don't know why they got us walking around this wall." But what happened when they were in obedience to God, did what he said, when they blew the trumpet and raised the shout, the walls fell in and God gave them victory. Here's what I want you to hear. In your praying, you may be on day 2, but you may be on day 7, lap 6. If you quit praying, you will not see the promise. God says, keep on praying. Pray it through. Don't lose heart. The other thing that will keep you from praying or make you lose heart is it gets worse. Come on, can I get a witness up in here? Anybody glad 40 days is over? Hallelujah. I'm tired of all that fighting and fussing that the Spirit was throwing at us. Physical stuff, mechanical stuff, whatever it is. Listen, there's been spiritual warfare. Maybe you've experienced it. Here's what I want you to hear. The enemy will throw a fit when he knows he is losing ground. He's going to try to move you away from the love and truth of God and try to lock you down in lies and fear. He will try to convince you that prayer's not working, God's not listening. If you know what's good for you, you'll pick something else to pray about. But that reminds me of the time when Jesus was met by a father whose son was demon-possessed and the disciples couldn't cast the demon out. And so he brought him to Jesus and said, "If you can do anything, would you help me?" Jesus says, "If I can, bring him to me." Now, when the demon recognized that Jesus is now on the scene, watch what happens. Mark 9, verse 20. They brought the boy to him, to Jesus, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, falling to the ground. He began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. How many of you know the demon's throwing a fit? But the demon knows the time is up. He's got to go. And I want to say to you that if you have experienced a lot of spiritual opposition and things seem to be going from bad to worse, keep on praying. Keep on praying. The devil's throwing a fit, but he's going to have to go. You keep praying. He will resist, but he has to leave you because we have authority in God, in Christ. That is our position. In the parable, Jesus is talking about this widow who wore the unrighteous judge out. Literally, it says, she's going to wear me out. The picture is she is hitting him in the eye, giving him a black eye. We don't know if that is literally he was scared that she was going to come around the corner and just, boom, lay him out, or if it was with his reputation, that she is souring his reputation. See, don't think going to the courthouse, this particular judge probably practiced justice on a circuit where he had a tent and he would go and he would set it up and people would come to him and he would make decisions. And so people without authority to go into the court could still actually stand around the outside of the tent and yell stuff inside the tent. Come on, somebody feel me yet? This woman is everywhere he goes. She's right there. That guy won't give me no justice. That guy ain't no good. He's not fearing God. He's not giving me justice. He goes to the hotel at night, maybe goes home at night. She's got the bullhorn. No justice, no sleep. No justice, no sleep. No justice, no sleep. Come on, y'all know how it is. This woman wants some justice. He goes out on a date with his woman, you know, just a little candlelight dinner out, and she's at the window, bam, bam, bam. He's a loser. He's a loser. He ain't no good. Come on, y'all ever dated somebody like that? What? Y'all know what I'm talking about. This lady will not give him rest. So what does he say? Even though I do not fear God and I don't give a whit about this woman, let me tell you something. To keep this woman from driving me crazy, woman, here's your justice. Now, the parable is not saying that God is like the judge. The parable is saying God is unlike the judge. The judge is not a good man. Your God is a holy, righteous, just, loving Father. You are not like the widow. You are a child of the righteous judge. If the unrighteous man will give this poor, defenseless, helpless widow justice, how much more so will your God give to you what you need when you need it quickly? That's the point. That's the point. So don't quit praying. There's a Bible verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It just simply says this: pray without ceasing. How many of y'all just memorized your first Bible verse in your lifetime right there? I think I got that one, preacher. Keep on praying. Pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. He's not saying just keep saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again to God. That's not what he's saying. He's saying praying for you ought to become as natural as breathing. That you ought to have a relationship with God that becomes so natural, so day, so night. That's what the text said. His righteous call out to him day and night. That it would become so natural for you to just talk to God in the morning when you wake up and whenever you're in the shower or whenever you're on your commute or when you're at work or at school, on the way home in the afternoon, in the evening time, that everything you do would just be in the presence of the Lord and you just keep talking to God. I know it may seem like nothing is happening and it may even seem like all hell's breaking loose and going from bad to worse, but let me tell you something. God says, keep praying. 40 days is over. But our prayer life has just begun. Pray with persistence. Number two, Jesus said, pray with openness. Pray with openness. Again, persistence doesn't mean you keep saying the same thing over and over and over again. No, Jesus taught us on week one, January the 21st, we read these words from Matthew chapter 6 when Jesus was speaking to his followers. And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. Sometimes we just keep saying the same thing to God over and over and over again, hoping it's going to make a difference, and it's not. We're like cheerleaders at a Mississippi State game, cheering for our... Never mind, I won't even go there, right? There are times whenever you've seen cheerleaders on the sideline of a game, their team's down by 50 points, right? And they keep saying, come on, boys, you can do it. Put a little power to it. And they keep saying that. And I know the coach wants to turn around and say, would y'all just please shut up right now? Let's let the clock run. Come on, you know what I'm saying? We sometimes treat God like that if we would just keep on saying the same thing, God will give up. Please hear what Jesus said. Don't do that. You're showing that you have no clue about your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ever ask. Now, listen to that. God knows what you need before you start to pray. The power of prayer is not you bending God against his will to what you want. The power of prayer is when you start to bend your prayers toward what God already knows you need. Come on, I hope that's not too complicated. Your Father already knows what you need before you even ask. So prayer is not you trying to convince God to give you something you don't need. Powerful prayer is when you begin to say, God, show me how to be open to what you want. Openness, I think, to three different things. Maybe God would change the prayer. The prayer itself. He promises, right, verses 7 and 8, he promises, I want to answer. I want to answer quick. I'm not going to delay. Luke 18, he wants to answer. Why is God delaying? Maybe he's waiting on you to change your prayer. As you walk and talk with God, pray for God to do stuff in his name, his kingdom, his will would come. Many times God will change the very thing that I'm praying. We have a college student named Kelsey who was praying with us for the 40 days. And at the beginning of the 40 days, she was praying about a relationship that she was in. She desires to get married one day, like many young college students do. She desired marriage, and she was praying about this particular relationship. And God, if this is going to be the one, then Lord, would you fix this relationship? Because there were some serious troubles in this relationship. It was even toxic. And so she began to pray, God, fix it, God, fix it, God, fix it. But at day 30, she stopped praying that, and she started praying something different. She stopped asking God to fix the relationship and instead asked God to take away the relationship if it wasn't going to bring glory and honor to him in the end. And a week later, after praying that relationship was over. She says God took away what she thought was going to be a relationship she needed in her life. She knew then and there that God was in control of her life and his plan was better than anything she could have imagined. She said, I know God will provide for me. I just have to trust and have faith in the power of Christ and know that his plan will prevail. Do you understand? She started praying one thing, but in the middle of it, she surrendered your kingdom, your will, and she started praying something else. God answered. Are you open? Sometimes God doesn't change the prayer, he changed the prayer. Not the prayer, but the prayer. God may want to answer your prayer, but you are not ready for it. Your character can't handle the blessing. Your heart is not open to his activity. Your attitude is negative or sour. All of that needs to be open and growing before God. Sometimes the answer to your prayer is the one doing the praying. Now come on, track that for a second. Sometimes the answer to the prayer is the prayer. You're praying that God would do something and God says, I will. Are you open to the answer to your prayers being the prayer? There's a girl named Dana who posted on her Instagram during the 40 days. She said, I chose to one thing to pray for every day, and already God has answered that prayer more than I could have imagined. But I'm also moving forward and expanding my prayers. God has changed my children and their love for each other because of prayer. God has changed my attitude because of prayer. God has changed my marriage because of prayer. The power of prayer is astounding, but only if you fully surrender and allow God to move in you. Can I just say to you, this woman has seen God move in her children and in her marriage, but let me tell you, the key to that was God changed her attitude. God changed her attitude. Sometimes God will change the prayer. Sometimes God will change the prayer. Anytime you're pointing, God changed that and that and them too. God get them. Every time you're pointing, you got three fingers pointing right back at maybe the real heart of the issue. Are you open? Do you want God to be like a vending machine to give you what you want? Or are you really open to saying, God, if you want to change me, change me. Be open to what God is wanting to do. Stay open to God's timing. Change the prayer, change the prayer. God, I want to be open to your timing. God promises to move, but God promises to move in his time. How many of y'all get confused with all the time zones we got, right? Eastern time, Central Standard time, Mountain West, Pacific, Hawaii time, right? If you got people over there, you know, people down in South America on one time, people over in Europe, you're trying to do the math. How many of y'all know that can be a problem? And then some people spring ahead and some people don't. Some people fall back and some people don't. Some people spring when they should have fallen and fall when they should have sprung. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on, the battle is real, right? The battle is real to know which way. Thank God for phones that now do it for us, automatic. But before that, there was an Easter Sunday where you sprang ahead on Easter Sunday. We had five services, unbelievable. Great stuff. At the end of the 11 o'clock service, everybody is leaving, and this couple comes in, and they sit down, and everybody has now left, and it's just me and them. And I said, man, can I help y'all? They said, yeah, we're here for a service. And I said, you have missed five services in a row. It was spring ahead Sunday, man. Y'all have missed it. And that guy looked at his wife. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. We needed some law enforcement in here for if he could, right? didn't spring when they should have sprung. That can be a problem. We got a guy on our staff, General Scott Wiggins, a retired general from the Air Force, and he tells me that the military works on what's called Zulu time. I didn't even know there was such a thing. But Zulu time is the same time all the way around the globe. No matter where you are, Zulu time is the same. I said, Scott, why do they do that? He said, because you don't want to drop a bomb on Eastern time when they needed it on Pacific time, right? So we have Zulu time, so everybody is on the same time. Okay, feel me. Are you on God's time? Because God's time is different from your time. God's time is right on time every time. 2 Peter verse chapter 3 verse 8 says, "Do not let this one fact escape your notice, my beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." God's time is different. Reminds me of the guy who's talking to God and said, "God, what's 1,000,000 years to you?" God said, "A minute." Man said, "Well, God, what's $1,000,000 to you?" God said, "A penny." Man said, "God, can I have a penny?" God said, "In a minute." Now you're praying. You're praying, "God, I want it now, I want it now, I want it now." And God's saying, "Hey, look, we on Zulu time here. I need you to get on my time." And I want to say to you that God's time is different from you, but write this down. God's faithfulness and his timing are always perfect. God's faithfulness and his timing are always perfect. You need to declare that over whatever it is you're praying for right now. God's faithfulness and God's timing are spot on. It's spot on. God, I am open. I am open to your changing my prayer. I'm open to you changing me. I'm open to your time. God, I'm open. Be persistent. Be open. Thirdly, Jesus taught you to pray this way. Pray with faith. Pray with faith. At the end of verse 8 in Luke 18, the last sentence, Jesus says, "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" He had promised that God is going to bring about justice quickly, but then he asked this question that seems to be on a tangent from what he's talking about in the parable about prayer. "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" What is that even about? It's about chapter 17, remember? Chapter 17 is where he's asked about the end time. When's the kingdom going to come? And he said, "It's already here. Open your eyes. You can experience it now. But one day the Son of Man is going to come, and it'll be like a lightning flash when he does." So Jesus is coming back around now to that idea that Christ will come fully one day. And he asks the question, when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, what does that mean? Is he asking, are there going to be Christians on the earth? That's not what he's asking, because the Bible clearly teaches that there will be. When Christ returns, those who are alive and remain will be caught up in a moment, changed in a moment, and meet the Lord in the air. Okay, there will be believers on the earth when he comes. So then what is he talking about? He knows there will be believers here, but he's asking, will there be belief here? Because if you're not careful, even as a believer, you can begin to live your life so caught up in the way everybody else is living that you lose faith. I don't mean you quit coming to church. You still come to church, but I'm talking about your everyday life, what you do, where you go, how you live, how you act, what you're counting on. You can lose faith. And God begins to be relegated to an activity you do on every third or fourth Sunday instead of being the heart of who you are. Watch this. Jesus taught this in Luke 17, verse 26. Jesus said, "And just as it happened in the days of Noah." He's talking about when he's going to come back. He said, "It's going to be just like in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and it destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot." Different story. Noah, Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. What is Jesus saying? He is saying, I'm going to come back one day. That's a promise. Bet. Bank on it. Count on it. However you want to lock that down, lock that down. He's coming back. But he's going to come back so quickly in a time where it seems like everything's so normal. People are eating and people are drinking and people are buying and people are selling and people are building and doing business and marrying. And all those things are normal and a part of life. But listen, they can become so a part of life that they become life and you lose focus on, is Jesus in the middle of that? Is there faith in the middle of your eating and drinking and marrying? Is there faith in the middle of the way you're doing business and the way you're relating to people? Is there faith in that? Jesus is asking, hey, listen, it's possible for believers to get so caught up in the world that they become worldly and lose faith. Will there be faith when he comes? Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy, and he described what the last days would be like. Okay, and this was his prophetic vision of what the last season of life before the Son of Man comes. This was his prophetic vision of what life would be like, 2 Timothy 3:1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times are going to come. Why? Because men are going to be lovers of self and lovers of money and boastful and arrogant and revilers, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Could we all agree that our day is described in 2 Timothy 3? That's the day you live in. Christ could come at any minute. And the question is, will he find faith? Can we shrink that circle just a little bit? I'm not really worried about if God's going to find faith on the earth. I want to know, is God going to find faith at Pine Lake? Can we shrink that down a little bit more? I'm not worried about God even finding faith at Pine Lake. Maybe, is God going to find faith in my house? God's going to find faith in my house, and the question becomes, is God going to find faith in you? I'm not asking if you believe in God. Demons believe in God and tremble. I'm asking, have you placed your faith in Christ, and now everything you do, eating, drinking, business, marriage, everything you do is done by saying, God, I want you to be honored. I'm trusting in you. Do you see what he's saying? Pray. Pray. But have faith. Keep looking to God. Faith that God can answer no matter what you're asking him for. My God can. Faith that God will answer. I have a hopeful expectation that God's coming through for me. My eyes are open. God will do it. A faith that God is good even if he doesn't. Can we just be real for a second? Because a lot of us are deciding whether or not God's good based on whether or not he's given me what I want. And that is backwards. God is good. Whether you know it or not, believe it or not, or experience it or not, God is good. Fact. Faith says, God, I'll believe that even when I don't feel that. Hebrews chapter 11 in the Bible is called the Hall of Fame of Faith. It's reserved for those who are outstanding in their demonstration of faith in God in the midst of crazy circumstances. And in that chapter, there are people mentioned that you would recognize: Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and many others that are nameless. All of these men and women demonstrated faith in God in their lifetime. But check out Hebrews 11:39. And all of these, having gained approval through their faith, God was with them, they did not receive what was promised. Every one of these people longed for the day that God would come and make everything right through Messiah, through what we know as Christ coming the first time. They all longed for it, they believed for it, they prayed for it, but they never saw it. And yet they still had faith that God could, that God would, and that God was good. And so here's really where it meets our lives today. Can I ask you, if God never answered your prayer, would you still love him? If God never comes through for you in the thing you're asking from him, would you still praise him anyway? If God delays answering you until you reach heaven, would you still hold on to your faith right here on the earth? Come on, you understand how this ain't church no more. I'm not talking about you having church. I'm not talking about you having a candy apple. Hey, God, can I have a little something, something stuff? I'm talking about life. When the Son of Man comes, will he find a people on the planet who believe that God is good even when the sun's not shining, and God is good even when I can't see him or trace him? I'll have faith in my God no matter what. 40 days ago, January the 21st, we started this journey, and God's done some incredible things along the way. But I want you to know God's not through working, and we don't need to be through praying. I want to ask you to keep on praying persistently, openly, in faith. I want to invite you to be a part of a praying church, that at your campus, that you could be a part of the war room and pray on Sundays for what God is doing every time we meet. Go to Connecting Point, find out about that, that you could be a part of the prayer link where we could cover, if not all of the day, most of the day with prayer, somebody in our body covering our campus in prayer. Maybe God's calling you out to that, to more. You've got time, you've got opportunity. Would you do it? Would you use your life in faith to pray? Maybe you need to be trained as a spiritual prayer minister to be able to pray for anybody, anytime, to have confidence and competence to pray no matter where you are. 40 days is over, but the prayer is just beginning. May God, when he comes, find us a people who are praying and not losing heart. At every campus, could we bow our heads right now? Could we close our eyes? I want to lead you just for a second. I want to give you a moment to pray. God's spoken something into your heart. Would you just talk to him about that now? What's he saying? The Spirit speaks. What did he say? Maybe the Lord's calling you to pray with persistence or openness or faith. Maybe the Lord says to you, listen, before you can pray to me, you need to know me. And can I just tell you, the greatest thing that you could ever do is turn from sin and turn to God. He is not an unrighteous judge. He is a loving Father who wants to forgive your sin through his Son, Jesus. He wants to take your old life and bury it in the cross an empty tomb, and he wants to give you a brand new life through his resurrection and his Holy Spirit. Would you right now just in faith turn to God, confess your sins, and say, Jesus, I receive you into my life. Holy Spirit, cleanse me, wash me, make me new. I repent. I come to you, God. I want every man to work with me for just a second. I don't care if you're a grade school, if you're a boy, if you're a man, young man, old man, doesn't matter. I want you, everybody's heads bowed, everybody's eyes closed. I want you just to turn your palms over on your legs with your hands up, just in your lap, your hands up. Come on. Every man. Every man. Gentlemen, Jesus taught his disciples, men, to pray. Jesus taught the men to pray. And so I want to pray for you. I want you with open hands. I want you to have a surrendered spirit. But God, I'm asking you, would you teach me to pray? God, would you make me a man of faith? God, would you make me a man after your heart? God, would you teach me what it is to even walk with you? God, would you give me faith and confidence and boldness and courage to pray. But God, I pray that for my brothers right now with their hands open. Every campus, those on the podcast, God, whoever it is, Lord, I pray. I pray for some of these cadets today. God, with hands open before you, that you would do more than just make them an officer in training, but God, you would make them to be a spiritual warrior for you. God, would you begin to change our hearts and change our homes and change our church and change our community, God, because our men are beseeching heaven to come and touch earth. God, raise up prayer warriors, strong men, men of faith, godly men who walk with you and love you and live with you every single day. God, would you release heaven to earth through the hands and the prayers of these men? God, anoint them for this task even now. God, give them boldness and courage, and God, give them confidence to pray alone, to pray with the people in their household or under their influence. God, I pray that there would be prayers in their hearts that are birthed in your throne. And God, would you move mountains, release your kingdom. God, would you drive out our enemy who lies and steals and kills and destroys. And God, we are the protectors of this house. So God, would you raise us up, strong men, with a call from you to defend our city, to defend this state, to defend our church and our house. God, would you call us up and out today? Lord, for every person listening, Lord, would you grant us persistence to know that your delays are not your denials. God, sometimes you're just letting that seed give birth to faith and obedience. God, would you show us that the enemy can't stop what you have ordained? God, give us an openness to your movement by your Spirit within our hearts. And God, would you grant us a faith that holds on when all around us is dark? You are good. So God, we bless you. We bless you. Church, in just a second, I'm going to end this prayer. We're going to stand up at every campus. We're going to begin to sing a song, just a declaration of our confidence and faith in God. While we're singing, listen, God wants to answer our prayers. And maybe you want to be prayed for about something that we talked about today, or maybe it has nothing to do with anything I've talked about, but man, you need some help. Maybe you want to talk about a job or an attitude or a relationship, your finances, health. You maybe have something going on, and whatever it is, listen, we want to pray with you. So when we stand up, there are going to be ministers around the room ready to pray with you, trained to pray with you. If you want to see heaven touch your life, whenever we stand up, would you just go find one of these folks? Tell them your name. They're going to help you. And let's pray and turn this place into a house of prayer. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We're about to sing praises to you. Father, you're here with us. Answer us as we call. God, inhabit our praise as we sing. In the name of Jesus, amen.